Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Emily Kringle. Of course, she's registered dietitian with the Cass County Health System. Good morning to you, Emily.
Good morning, LaVon, on this chilly day.
Yeah, it's January and, you know, every day we get a little closer to spring.
And it's sunny.
Yes, sunny. It is. So we're not going to I'm not going to complain too much. Doesn't make any difference if I complain or not. It's going to stay the same. Well, I think it was kind of last fall when there was a lot of headlines related to changing the dietary guidelines. And now it's sort of, although they have now officially been put out there, we haven't heard so much. So I thought we needed to talk a bit about dietary guidelines. What's that all about? Where do they come from?
Okay, LaVon. Well, every 5 years since 1980, there have been dietary guidelines released. And last week, it was the 8th edition. It starts every 5 years, probably the year before they're released, with a committee of over 15 people, scientists, experts in the field, who conduct a systematic review of the scientific evidence. They look at all the studies that are written, at the papers, and evaluate where we are and where we need to go.
That probably takes a few minutes.
It takes a lot of minutes. And I watched some of that on some websites and heard their arguments and testimonials. And, I mean, it was over my head, but I admired the dedication those people had to trying to find the best evidence research out there.
And when you say that, evidence research related to people, right?
To people, to illnesses, to chronic disease, how people ate, and how it affected their health. There was definite criteria on how to evaluate the literature they were looking at. Their report was 500 pages.
And their report was 500 pages. So think about all the pages that they looked before that. Oh my goodness, 500 pages. Lots of discussion went into that.
A huge amount of discussion and probably some disagreement in what was going to hit that. After those 500 pages report was submitted, there was a comment period where anybody could comment if they chose to the dietary guideline suggestions.
So who was this 500 page report submitted to?
It was given to the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Health and Human Services. So after that comment period, all this information was digested, and it is what we received last week in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans.
Okay. And remember, these are to help us as people give us some guidelines in terms of being healthier.
Yes, the guidelines are really for the professionals out there, the people planning school guidelines for school lunch, guidelines for hospitals, guidelines for nursing homes, the broad view. And then it's kind of perhaps like Choose My Plate is the practical information that comes down to the people. Some of the information that the committee pushed on was not addressed in the guidelines, and it seemed to me some things that weren't really in their suggestions did make the dietary guidelines that came out last week.
So I'm guessing that was partially due to the comment period that, you know, input from other people, and then I'm sure it's USDA people. I mean, there were a lot of other people who looked at this and sort of said, okay, as a person, here's where I think we need to go.
Exactly. And then you have to make it something that we can grasp. We can't have 500 pages. We can't have 100 pages. So you have to make it something practical that we can wrap our heads around. And really what came out was very practical information that our grandparents might have told us about healthy eating.
So like my grandma probably said to eat more fruits and vegetables.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest things. And what is really scary is 3/4 of Americans do not meet the guidelines for the amount of fruits and vegetables we should eat. Again, it is recommended on real foods. The dietary guidelines are from food we should eat, not supplements.
Okay. And you know, that research continues, I think, Emily, in terms of supplements. But that's a whole another conversation.
This is all related to dietary guidelines related to foods.
Okay. And that includes beverages. It's kind of everything we put into our bodies that kind of relate, whether we're drinking it or chewing it or however it comes.
What they actually said is these needs should be met primarily with foods.
So let's talk about a few of what those guidelines are. And then some other time I think we need to talk about my plate, because I'm thinking there are a lot of people who don't even know what we're talking about when we say my plate. But my plate, I'm just going to say, is a visual representation of the guidelines, and then we can talk about that more.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic, and there's tons of information on the choosemyplate.gov website. Okay, so what did it really boil down to, what we are supposed to eat? They mention eating patterns, but one of the biggest things is to eat a variety of vegetables, according to the rainbow, including all kinds of vegetables. Legumes and starchy vegetables are also included. And legumes are like dried peas and beans, lentils, that sort of thing.
And so I'm just going to throw in there, because when you say legumes, and some people wouldn't put in there the kidney beans they have in their chili.
Exactly. They count kind of, you get a double bonus from that sort of thing. It's also in the protein group. But it does count in the vegetables. Those things are high in protein, high in certain vitamins and minerals, and high in fiber. So it's good. The next thing is eat your fruits. Basically whole fruits rather than juices. Again, both these fruits and vegetables can be fresh, frozen, canned, and dried.
And I think that's something that sometimes we have said, oh, you got to buy fresh, or at least that's the message that comes across. And we forget frozen vegetables are wonderful, and canned are okay too. We kind of got to take a look at the salt and the sugar and so on, but they still have lots of nutrition in them.
Exactly, and sometimes they're more cost effective, and for some things you might just prefer them, you know. So it doesn't always have to be in the produce fresh section. Yes, of course, those are good. And the argument that sometimes I don't use up the fresh and then I have to throw it away, that might be where you can say, well, you can buy canned, frozen, and those keep a long time.
Yeah, so they keep a long time before you open them. And then after you open them, I think it's easier even then to put them back in the freezer or put them in the refrigerator. So an opened can of peaches, you know, you can keep in the refrigerator for quite a while, versus a fresh peach, not so long, perhaps.
No, and I think that's frustrating to people. I mean, who doesn't love a fresh peach? But if you've kept it in there a week or so, it may not be quite so good.
Yeah, not only tastes not so good, it also probably has reduced the nutritional value. So, but that, again, that's something else, Emily, that I think sometimes we need to talk about, because it also involves cost. There's a difference of cost, and that's another whole conversation. So let's see, we've got eat a variety of fruits, a variety of vegetables, and make sure we eat plenty of those. What else might you want to summarize?
This is not a new suggestion. Half of your grains be whole grain, and a lot of us can do that by including oatmeal, Cheerios, whole wheat toast, whole wheat pasta, that sort of thing. But one of the things that kind of snuck in these guidelines is evaluate, are you eating too many total grains? And for some of us, that could be easily done if we're sandwich eaters, lots of bread, lots of pasta. Not that any of those foods are bad, but we just may be eating too much of those.
And I don't know if this is where the place to put that in is, because it's another topic, but I think the report says that 2/3 of Americans are overweight. So we're also talking about calories as well as nutrition. But I want you to mention just real quickly, because we're going to talk again, Emily, there's a recommendation about coffee.
Oh, yes. This is a kind of a interesting thing to me, especially since I'm a coffee drinker. But it said we could have 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day. They could find no real health problems related to coffee. And they studied coffee rather than caffeine. But the suggestions say don't start drinking coffee if you're not a coffee drinker. But they couldn't really say from the research and the literature, to not drink coffee. The caveat here is they studied black coffee. And a thing I recently read is a lot of the added sugar we get in our diet is from what is added to coffee beverages. So the recommendation or the guideline or the suggestion is black coffee, not the coffee drinks that have a lot of added sugar, fat, cream, etc.
And those have become so popular. So, Emily, we've been visiting with Emily Kringle, who is the registered dietitian for Cass County Health System. Emily, I think we need to come back and talk again.
Yes, there. Think about those 500 pages that were submitted. There's lots and lots of information and lots of real good suggestions for all of us to try to follow.
Yep. Many easy suggestions to follow. Thank you so much, Emily. And until next time, here's a thought, especially maybe if we want to think we need to improve our diets. Procrastination is the art of keeping up with yesterday.